So we are in the second psalm of our pilgrimage. Last week, I spoke about the purpose of these psalms in as songs that the Hebrew pilgrims sang when they were making their journey towards Jerusalem for annual festivals. And we can also read these psalms on our journey, on our pilgrimage of dynamic movement toward God. Last week was our first psalm. It was Psalm 120. It's a bit of a rocky start if you read that psalm, but we saw it as an invitation to bring our whole selves, even our baggage, even our self-righteousness, and also our deep longings for peace at the start of our journey. Well, today the psalmist begins in Psalm 121 by drawing our attention to nature, to seeing the hills in front of us on our journey. I lift up my eyes to the hills. And these hills are most likely the Jerusalem mountains, the destination of their journey, these high places where we meet God. But if we slow ourselves down, these hills can represent a lot of what it means to journey. So today in Vancouver, we're not looking towards Jerusalem to find God, yet we often look to find God in the beautiful creation around us. We're surrounded by awe-inspiring mountains, and we desire to be close to this beauty. We look north, and we see the hills and the mountains, snow-capped in the winter, lush and green in the summer, and we desire to be there, to play, to enjoy, to breathe in the beauty. This is where many connect with God here in this land. We find revival, we find refreshment when we look to the hills. It pulls us toward want to being with God. Beautiful and wild creation has a way of doing this. Well, this psalm is at the beginning of the Hebrew pilgrimage, and as they saw the hills ahead of them, there too is a pull and a desire to meet God there in Jerusalem on the mountain of God. And they may also look to these hills and just see a very long journey ahead of them. For some of them, days walk to get to this place. They may see the distant hills holding very real danger and difficulty ahead of them. Travelers are up against the hot sun, scarce water sources, wild animals. Thoughts about who they would encounter on the journey may also weigh their minds. Those who seek to rob them, rob vulnerable travelers. And for those who are ailing and aging bodies, with all ages of the family made this journey together, or for those who experience the lack of mobility for various reasons, this is also a very long journey that they are looking towards. They will look to the hills and see the fragility of the journey, wondering if they will make it or if they will fall. So for us too, in our personal spiritual journeys and in our collective Grandview pilgrimage, we may be starting our journey together, weighted with much thought. You know, thoughts can be heavy or anxious at the start of a journey. It's unknown what's ahead. We're drawn to go forward, and we're also aware that this journey will include encountering our body, mind, heart frailties and difficulties, weariness, dangers from the outside that may seek to harm us. And so the psalmist looks to the hills at the start of the journey and immediately ask the question, where does my help come from? Where will my help come from on this journey ahead? In those days, this psalm could have been sung responsively in community, where someone does the call and asks the question, and the rest of the community responds. So first, the psalmist asks the question. Questions are permitted on this journey. We're allowed to ask questions, to have doubts, to kind of wonder about this journey ahead. It's almost like the psalmist is asking the age-old but very real question. What about the evil in the world that I'm going to encounter on this journey ahead? What about when I get hurt? What kind of help is there in life when the struggles are there to come? So let's not skip too quickly over this first verse, because the psalmist is inviting us to bring our own questions on our journey, on this pilgrimage, our profound questions. We are pilgrims seeking something on a journey. Pilgrims ruminate and reflect on the questions that they are holding, that they're carrying on their journey. So what question are you holding right now? As we embark together as a community on this new season that we're entering together, what is the question that comes to mind? As you look to the hills ahead of you, what questions do you carry or seek after in your own spiritual journey? Let's just pause before we move on and take time to reflect. What is that question that comes to your mind? It could be the one that the psalmist is asking. Where does my help come from? And if you have your prayer book with you, you can just write that question in that first verse. Or it could be another question that you are carrying, a profound spiritual question that you are carrying. We don't need to share this with anyone. This is just your own question that you're carrying with God, that you're seeking after on this journey. The 121st psalmist asks this question, where does my help come from? Now, some commentators suggest that when the Hebrew people look towards the hills, towards the high places, this is where other religions would set up their altars. So the psalmist is responding to that. When looking beyond the gods of other nations, beyond the altars of other gods, and saying that my help comes from my maker. Let's read together verse 2 in your prayer book, if you have that with you, in your back pocket that you've brought along, or in your Bibles in front of us, verse 4:23. We'll do the call and response. I'll ask verse 1, and then you can respond with verse 2. Page 4:23. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? The Lord, our maker, the creator God, our helper. You know, immediately we begin this journey in humility, acknowledging we're creatures. We have a creator, a maker of this beauty around us, a maker of our life journeys. And whenever one encounters beauty in nature or our fragile, limited bodies, when we think of journeying or a brush with evil, we are moved towards humility, a sense that there is more to life than our limited thoughts and opinions and feelings. We are creatures and we have a maker. We don't spend time with or recognize this kind of humility too much in our fast-paced Western Vancouver culture, that we are creatures. So there is this troubling question here at the start of the journey. Who is our help in this world? Where does our help come from? And the psalmist continues to write a very powerful and deep response to this faith question. All the verses afterwards is like this waterfall of assurance in our creator God, in our maker. And the main word in the next part of this psalm is that maker God is our keeper. Six times in these eight verses, the word shamar, which is variations of that word keeper, meaning to keep, to watch over, to guard, to preserve. It's this powerful outpouring of who Maker God is. And the psalm speaks mainly about the actions of the Lord as keeper. It's not just a God who has us as a possession, but keeps us as one who is loved. The Lord will not let your feet slip. The Lord will not sleep. The Lord will be your shade, so the sun and moon won't harm you. The Lord will keep you from evil. The Lord will keep your life. All of your comings and goings, the Lord will watch over you. Now, in my family growing up, the Psalm 121 was called the going away psalm. So whenever my sisters or I left the house for a long trip, or we went away to school, or when we left home to live somewhere else, my mom would get out the Bible and she would read Psalm 121 for us, the going away psalm, to remind us that our Maker is our keeper as we venture into our unknown journey ahead. But of course, you know, all of our journeys we left on didn't end well. And we want to be alert to the fact that this writer was not naive in writing this psalm. We know in life, in our life journeys, there's pain and danger and death ahead. It isn't as if those who believe in God don't ever fall or slip into danger or get sick and never heal or are robbed or even killed. This can't be what this psalm means. What the psalmist writes, when the psalmist writes, God is our maker and our keeper, what does that mean? The response to this profound question in verse 1 makes up most of the psalm. There's one question in verse 1, and then 7 verses respond to this question. And the response keeps getting reinforced and wider and deeper as we go along. The Maker God keeps your feet, verse 3. And then keeps your whole body, in verse 5. And then keeps your entire life, verse 7. You know, I wonder if the psalmist is inviting us into a deeper reality of what it means that God is our maker and keeper, a deeper faith reality. The psalmist is inviting us to rest in our maker God as keeper, even in the struggles of our journey, because this keeper is larger and bigger and more intimate than the pain and struggle itself. We land in verse 7, where it says, the Maker, the Lord, will keep your life. Will keep your life. Maybe this pilgrimage will have ups and downs, but maybe the deeper underlying thing to hold on to rest into, is that we ultimately are held. That our life, our being, our purpose, our presence is held. And that is enough help. That even if we lose our grip on God, God doesn't lose us. We are kept. That no matter what we do, no matter what happens to us, no matter if we get lost, we are kept. That we have a keeper. Do you remember Darwin in the exceptional East Side Story Guild presentation a few Sundays back? Darwin was the one who experienced taunting and bullying and loneliness and near drowning. And yet, in the middle of the forest, she was found. She was brought back. I think that telling of God was brilliant. That's the essence of our Creator God, our Maker. That we are kept, held on our long journey. Now, I've said this before, and I think I'll just keep preaching it, that one of the most traditional and profound prayers in life is simply, help. Atheists have been known to pray this prayer. Help me, God. I look to you. I acknowledge I'm not my own, but I need you. What about us as Christ followers? Do we pray this prayer enough? This prayer is not a prayer we stop praying in our spiritual life as we mature. In fact, our journey with God is moving more and more into dependence on God, more and more into deeper relationship. We can step out each day with this prayer. Help. Help me, God. Help me today. As I go to work, as I look for work, as I just try to get out of bed. All throughout the day, all throughout your journey, this prayer, this psalm is here for us to pray at any moment, at any step, at any frenzy, at any rest point. Help me, God. This constant movement towards dependence on God goes quite against our individualized, independent culture we live in. To lift up our eyes to the hills, to acknowledge we have a creator, we have a maker, to acknowledge we need help with our questions and our slips and our strikes and the shade going and coming in our lives. I introduced that phrase, Ultrea, last week, which is the name of the song that the pilgrims sing on the Camino to Santiago. And this song means go farther, go higher, may God be your help. And this was a call and response prayer for pilgrims. They don't so much do it right now in contemporary pilgrimages, but in olden days, they would call and response this song, this prayer. So when one pilgrim would pass another, they would say, Ultrea. And the other would respond, Esusia. Ultrea, go farther. And you would respond, Esusia, go higher. So I invite you to do this call and response with me this morning. I'll say Ultrea, meaning go farther. And you respond with Esusia, go higher. Ultrea. 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 And may God be your help. If you only want to pray your question this week or to pray that first verse in Psalm 121 this week, you can do that. You can just stay there in verse 1 and meditate on it. Psalm 121 allows us to journey with our questions. And if you want to move deeper and further and higher in, if you want to meditate on any of the following verses, praying that prayer of help to our Maker, asking for big or small help that you need until you experience what that really means for God to be your keeper, that your life is kept by God. So I invite you to, we're going to do another call and response. Find what you want to meditate on, what you want to pray this week. Maybe it's only verse 1. Symbolizing your question you're carrying, or maybe it's something else in that psalm that struck you that you want to pray this week. And I'll just read through this psalm, and when it's your part, when it's the thing that you chose, you can read it as well. So those of you who want to read verse 1, you join in with verse 1. If there's another part in the psalm, you join in at that point. And if you don't know, then just read the whole psalm. So we'll end with this. Psalm 121, our song for the journey this week. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.